In the United States versus Texas, the justices deadlocked 4-4 on President Obama's executive action that would have shielded millions of undocumented immigrants from deportation.
And that tie leaves in place the lower district court ruling blocking the president's plan. President Obama spoke a short time later.
I think it is heartbreaking for the millions of immigrants who made their lives here, who've raised families here, who hope for the opportunity to work, pay taxes, serve in our military, and more fully contribute to this country we all love in an open way.
Ron Elving is NPR's senior Washington editor and correspondent. Ron, tell us, first of all, what is the president's plan that's now been blocked?
You remember the Dreamers plan from a few years ago, allowing people who had been brought to this country as children to obtain legal status and stay in the country and move forward. And this was extending this to a wider circle of family members and people who are in this country illegally, but who have family members who are here legally and who have been living, as the president says, in the shadows. It doesn't give them permanent status, but it defers any action on their cases until further legislation may come along to rationalize our current immigration legal picture.
There's also protections for parents of the children who are in the country legally. So just as people are reacting to this, we'll talk more about the case, but what does that mean? Does that mean that all those people are deported?
It means that they are subject to deportation, and it means that they continue to have the anxiety of that situation and status going forward for an indefinite period of time. That's what the president was saying he found regrettable. It's why he acted when the House of Representatives refused to act on the immigration reform that had been passed by the Senate, also just a few years ago. That was in 2013, and the House just did not take up the bill at all and has not taken up any kind of a comprehensive immigration plan. So the president, in frustration, issued these executive orders in the manner that I've described. Mm-hmm. So that's the sort of political background of it. It was challenged in court. A federal judge down in Texas put it all on hold. He was upheld by a circuit court of appeal in New Orleans that handles the Texas cases. And then it went to the Supreme Court more or less on a kind of expedited basis. But it has not been decided. Let us make it very clear. What this court's tie at 4-4 has done is it has said that nothing can change until another Supreme Court justice can be added and a more definitive precedent-setting decision can be made by that new court.
Huh. In the meantime, we're reading that Congress hasn't provided enough money to deal with, you know, deporting the many people who are in the country undocumented, and that the president still has a lot of discretion to decide who gets deported. But Paul Ryan, House Speaker, is saying that the case means that the Constitution was vindicated, that the president can't write laws, only Congress can. Is that a fair interpretation?
That is not what the Supreme Court decided today. That is what the lower courts were indicating with their rulings, and the lower courts prevail until the Supreme Court can make up its mind. So there are two ways to look at this. Yes, Paul Ryan is right that the lower courts were siding with the view of Congress that the president was exceeding his authority under the Constitution with these executive orders, but that has not been determined yet in a final fashion. That can only be done by the Supreme Court, and it will have to be done when there are 9 justices, and we expect that to be next year, and we expect this case to be back and back soon.
Right. Well, the court also ruled on Fisher v. University of Texas. As we said, this was a challenge to UT's affirmative action program. They said the university can legally consider race in their admissions process. Give us a little history here.
Well, Texas has a system what they call the top 10% system, where the top 10% of the graduates of every high school in the state are eligible for the University of Texas. And as a result, they get a certain amount of diversity just from the diversity of the various high schools around the state. But they have an additional program of affirmative action in which they can take race into consideration in admitting students beyond that 10% plan. And that has been the focus of the controversy. And Judge Alito, Samuel Alito, today wrote a 50-page dissent from the decision, saying that he felt that that disadvantaged young people who maybe came from an impoverished background but were not members of a racial minority.
You know, while we have you, Ron, there's been other things going on as well, including Democrats having an overnight sit-in. They've decided to end the sit-in. One of the organizers, Representative Catherine Clark, says they will be back after July 4th. There's a break now, and they will come back with their demand to have a bill, some kind of a bill, on gun control. Your thoughts on what has happened overnight?
This is really an unusual situation, if not perhaps a historic one, an unprecedented one. House Democrats, in their frustration, have decided that if the House Republican leadership will not schedule any kind of a vote on a gun bill, either the measures that were voted on in the Senate or some other gun control measure, that they're just going to sit down and demand it. So they spent the night, many of them literally sleeping on the carpet in the well of the House chamber, and they're pledging to come back on the day after the 4th of July and renew this protest, despite the fact that the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, has declared it to be a violation of the rules and will not let the House come back into session so long as they continue to carry on this demonstration. Paul Ryan calls it a publicity stunt. And, of course, if you've been watching, and it has been possible through the offices of Periscope to see some of this, even on C-SPAN and elsewhere in social media, the speeches that are being made by many of these members recall much of the spirit of the civil rights movement and the idea of peaceful protest and confrontation, if you will, but basically a mass resistance and, if you will, civil disobedience even to the rules of the House, of which these members are sworn members. So yeah, it is an unusual situation.
Yeah. Well, it reminds us that one time Representative Pete Stark actually called the police on Republicans. So we'll take a look at the history at another time. Ron Elving, NPR's senior Washington editor and correspondent, thanks as always.
Thank you, Robin.